untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found the colt outside the street, tied it at the doorway, and they untied it. Some people standing there asked, well, what are you doing taking this colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the ground, while others spread branches that they had cut from the field. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Before we read the second scripture, which is going to start back in chapter 10, we're going to go backwards a little bit, starting in verse 46. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, will you show us something new from your word this morning in both of these stories that we're about to talk on? And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will infuse us with that sense of great joy and excitement as we look at these words today. In your name we pray. Amen. Starting in verse 46, chapter 10, it says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So as we've been looking at this in Mark, we're trying to figure out who this Jesus is, who the Messiah really is. And Mark is telling us through kind of these eyewitness accounts, he wasn't there when these stories happened, or he wasn't part of these stories. He's telling us these stories so that we can pick up on maybe who Jesus really is. Is he a king Messiah, a military Messiah? What kind of Messiah is Jesus? And then he goes on to tell us the reactions that people would have. Some people liked him, some people loved him, some people hated him and wanted him destroyed. And so we have these eyewitness accounts. And you know, the whole time the disciples really couldn't figure out who he was. I think they believed he was the Messiah, maybe, but maybe not the type of Messiah that he was to become in just a few short days as we move forward. So they were kind of thinking earthly in the way of the Messiah, while Jesus is constantly talking and kind of preaching from a spiritual standpoint. And so their eyes hadn't been opened. And we also learned from Mark that Jesus came to turn the idea of the Messiah upside down. This was going to be a Messiah who, if you wanted to be first, you had to be the least. If you wanted to be first, you had to serve. You had to become a slave to all. And we also learned in the book of Mark that Jesus came to be that ransom. In other words, to pay the penalty, to pay the price for our sin. And so Mark wants us to study the evidence. He wants us to make up our own minds as to who Jesus really is. Well, as he came to pay the price, we have to make the choice. Do we know who he is? Are you one of his disciples? Am I one of his disciples? Do you know Jesus the Messiah? You might remember we ended up last week with the story of James and John. That's one of my favorite stories. They approach Jesus in chapter 10, verse 35. It starts there, and Jesus asks this important question, and you might want to underline this or remember this question. What do you want me to do for you? He says to James and John. Well, the boys ask for seats at the right and the left of Jesus when he gets into glory. In other words, when he gets to Jerusalem, he becomes king. And he denied those seats to them. He said, that's not in my power to give you those seats. So he kind of denied those seats to them. But directly following that particular story, Jesus performs his last healing in the Gospel of Mark. We just read that. It was about Bartimaeus in chapter 10. And here this guy, Bartimaeus, he was a blind guy. He sat begging for money, and some people were pouring into the city of Jerusalem. They were coming along the road from Jericho into Jerusalem at that time because of that approaching Passover festival, which was the time that the Jews celebrated the fact that Pharaoh had let them go from Egypt. And you remember they had to kill unspotted lambs and then put the blood over the doorpost. And then finally, after Pharaoh's son died, he relented. He says, get out of here. And they left. So this was that celebration of that whole thing at that time. And so Bartimaeus is sitting along the road because there's just tons of people coming by. He's blind. The only way he can live is by collecting money from other people. And so that's when he does it, when all these people are coming through for the festival. So it would be like maybe us at a Colts game or a big game where there's 40, 50, 60,000 people. And when you come out, what do you see? You see somebody who is asking for money or asking for charity. Why are they there versus on some sidewalk where no one ever shows up? Well, because a bunch of people are coming through town or they're coming out the doors, and this is where you're going to make most of your money. And so there was Bartimaeus. In the ancient world, in the ancient times, somebody who's blind or disabled in some way, of course, they're totally dependent on other people's charity, but they were also considered expendable. They were considered sinners. And so this was Bartimaeus. And the crowd, they chide Bartimaeus. They say, keep quiet. You know, they don't want him talking to Jesus. They don't want him shouting, but he shouts all the more. And so the crowd is apparently thinking that Jesus would have absolutely nothing to do with somebody who's in his situation, a sinner, an expendable. We know otherwise. All along Jesus' journey, starting in Galilee, which is where we started a couple weeks ago, that shadow of the cross was over him. He knew where he was going. He knew he was going to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to have to die, take on our sin, and then rise, get rid of it, and then rise again. He knew all of that, and that big burden was on him all the time. And while he went from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem, he constantly had other people on his mind as well, to heal, to love, to cast out demons. And even as he starts to approach Jerusalem, coming right into town, his final destination, he still hears the cry of someone who is hurting, someone who's suffering, someone who is blind. For Jesus, no one is too insignificant. He just loves us all. You might remember there was a leper that he healed. There was a woman that was healed of a 12-year blood flow. She had that hemorrhage. There was little children that Jesus brought unto himself, and all received attention from Jesus, and so many more things. And now here we have this last blind man come to Jesus before his death. Now Bartimaeus can't see. He can't see physically, but I think somehow he knows that this person that is passing is someone more than a prophet, someone more than a miracle worker. In fact, in the scripture we read, when he heard Jesus of Nazareth was coming through, that's when he started shouting, Son of David. So he knew something about Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard something along the way. My sneaking suspicion is that he knew something, maybe even a little bit more than the disciples knew about Jesus. And Jesus asks the question, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Remember, he asked that of James and John. What do you want me to do for you? And it may seem like an odd question to ask a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? But I think here in the writing of Mark, it's Jesus saying to Bartimaeus, now stop and think just for a moment, what do you really want me to do? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. I want to see. I want to be able to see everything. And so when he says that, Jesus says, wow, your faith, that's going to do it for you. And so this blind begging person along the way with Jesus gets his sight. And what's interesting here is once he is healed, he gets up and he follows Jesus. He goes on the same path as Jesus. He goes Jesus' way. Isaiah 35:5 tells us that the eyes of the blind will be open. And Isaiah 42:16 says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. I will not forsake them. And so as you read that, you wonder, wow, now this was right. That was said by the prophet Isaiah way before Jesus, way before Bartimaeus. And I'm wondering if Bartimaeus knew those scriptures from the prophet Isaiah. I think he did. Because Isaiah was such a famous prophet. So many people knew of his writings. And I love what Bartimaeus does. Again, once he is healed, he doesn't leave Jesus. He doesn't go tell everybody like we find in other stories. He follows Jesus. In fact, if you read this, he leaves the only possession that he has. That's his cloak. And you know, in ancient times, you'd have a cloak if you were into charity and you got to beg for your stuff. You spread your cloak out here, and that's where people throw all the money. Maybe they throw canned goods or whatever they got going, and you take that and you eat that. And then your cloak is what you wrap yourself in the evening with to keep warm. That's all he had. Well, as soon as he was healed, he didn't go back to retrieve it. He just got up and followed Jesus. Now, it's kind of fun to compare Bartimaeus' story with James and John, because Jesus asked them all this one question: what do you want me to do for you? With John and James, they proved to be spiritually blind. They don't get it. They haven't gotten it yet. I mean, James and John want to sit in the throne room with Jesus and reign with him in triumph, right there, most likely in Jerusalem. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, if you compare that, he sits on a dirt road. He has no concerns about glory or fame or anything like that. He makes a request out of his poverty. What he doesn't have, he just wants to see. That's all he wants, is to see. And so the disciples see Jesus as a Messiah who will bring them maybe some mastery and some power and some glory and maybe a little bit of fame, power on earth, as they rule over Jerusalem. Bartimaeus sees Jesus as the Son of David who brings healing and sight. Now Jesus says he cannot grant the disciples' request for power. We know that. But he can and does grant the blind man his vision. So then, as you compare and contrast that, you look at yourself and you say, well, who am I in that story? Am I James or John? Is that what I'm out for in my faith? Is power and glory and all those sorts of things? Or am I Bartimaeus looking to see? Jesus can heal physical blindness, but I think more than that, way more than that, he wants to heal spiritual blindness. Bartimaeus, I think, he kind of says or voices what all of us who claim to be disciples should really want, and that's to be able to see. To see. Now, I'm blind. I'm talking spiritual now, right? I'm blind. I know that. I know there's a lot of things I don't see, even though I believe in Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, and it's going to be great up there, all that sort of stuff. But I'm still blind in many areas to God's Word, and that's why we study it. In fact, in this study of Mark alone, my eyes have been opened to new things. And so we ask God to open our eyes, and there's an old hymn, "Open my eyes that I might see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." It's an important question to answer, I think. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus says. Herod asked the question to his dancing stepdaughter. Remember, John the Baptist was in jail, and Herod's wife wanted John the Baptist dead. And Herod says, hey, you dance for us, I'll give you half the kingdom. What do you want me to do for you? And she says, I want the head of John the Baptist. Pilate outside, right, when before Jesus is crucified, he's basically saying to the crowd, what do you want me to do for you? Crucify. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. What would your response be? A worldly position, power, possessions? Maybe the answer would be something like King Solomon. I'd like some wisdom. I'd like some guidance. And you know the Gospels, they're kind of cool. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you read through those and you look at all the people that were healed and the demon possessed and some in those folks, some of those that are really close to Jesus in that healing process and the demon possession process, it's those folks who seem to have a kind of a spiritual knowledge of who Jesus is. Us regular folks kind of don't have a clue or didn't have a clue, kind of like the disciples. Well, from Bartimaeus, we move into town. Today is what we call Palm Sunday, and Jesus approaches Jerusalem. And the disciples at this point had to be thinking, well, why isn't Jesus recruiting some soldiers along the way? We're going to take over, and we're going to defeat the Romans. We're going to defeat Caesar and all of that. But there was none of that. Thinking, wow, there's going to be some big battle. Well, now maybe they thought God was going to come down and there was going to be this big physical battle, spiritual and physical battle, and they'd take over Jerusalem. I don't know exactly what they were thinking. But he rides into town like a new Messiah, and he like a new king. He commandeers a colt, the Bible tells us, as a king would, but generally speaking, a king that would come to either plunder or destroy or come in victory would not return the colt. And here Jesus tells his disciples, tell those guys you get the colt from, as soon as we're done, we're going to bring it back for you. He doesn't take anyone captive. He doesn't take anything. He doesn't kick the Romans out. There's no trophy. There's no victory symbol or anything like that. In fact, within a week, the Roman guards will lead Jesus out of the city, and he will be a defeated captive at that point. So he warned his disciples earlier what his fate would be, right? To suffer, die, and then rise again. He would not be setting up a new kingdom to take over Caesar. And soon, obviously, we know he was crowned with thorns and strung up on a cross. He was ridiculed by many. Those who probably at one time loved him. But it would be a different kind of triumph in the end, and one that others never envisioned. Certainly the crowds, the disciples probably never envisioned it. In fact, when he died, you remember what they did? They went in hiding. And as Jesus came into the crowd that day, people hailed him, they praised him without understanding his purpose. And I guess our question is, do we understand his purpose? Jesus enters into the temple courts. And I love how Mark finishes this off versus the other Gospels. He looks around at everything in the court. So he comes in here, he looks around, just kind of, And then because it was late, he left with his disciples. And so you start thinking, well, what did, and I think Mark wants you to think this way, what was in the temple? What was Jesus looking at? Well, this is a prelude to what comes next, and we won't talk about that today. It sort of foreshadows what Jesus is going to do in God's house the next day. You know, between his entrance into Jerusalem and Easter, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. And most of us don't want to talk about the middle part, do we? Most of us, you know, we want to talk about Palm Sunday, great day, everybody comes in, everybody's celebrating, and then we go home and we wait till Easter, great day, Jesus is risen from the dead, but none of us really want to talk about what happened in between here, where Jesus was beaten and bruised and suffered, alone, God forsaken. Mark is huge on bringing out the suffering of Jesus. So are the other Gospels, and his pain and loneliness is unbelievable. So the crowd shouts as Jesus comes in, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. And they're thinking Jesus has come to save them from their political realm, their enemies. But what they need most is for Jesus to come to town, and this is what we need, for Jesus to come to town and save us from ourselves, not from political structures or whatever. We just need to be saved from ourselves. And Jesus, according to Mark, is that different kind of king, that different kind of Messiah. He is a Messiah who gives his life for all, who reigns with a kind of power that no earthly kings could ever use or have. And so as you're reading through Mark, as you finish through Mark, as you listen to those eyewitness accounts from other people, the question is, are you grasping onto who Jesus really is and what he can do? Are you still befuddled like the disciples? Are your eyes opening up? You see, in Christ, our eyes should always be getting wider and wider and wider to his truth. Not my truth, not anybody else's truth, but to the truth of Jesus Christ. So do we want our eyes sort of shut like the disciples? Or do we want to say to Jesus, open my eyes that I might see? Are you getting closer to who Jesus really is this Easter season? Mark knows Jesus as Savior and Lord. Do you? Never a better time of day to accept Christ than where you're at right now, or any other time of the day for that matter. So if you haven't done so, I would ask you to do so. Maybe today, talk to myself, Tim, Brittany. I know Nanette's over here. Anybody be happy to pray for you and with you if you'd like to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And then I would invite you on Maundy Thursday, that's this Thursday, 7 p.m., we'll be talking about the suffering of Jesus. We're not going to be talking about celebrations or anything like that. We're going to be talking about what Christ went through to bring us to that big celebration day. If you'd like to be part of that, please join us for that. We're getting closer. We're getting closer to the promise that God provided for us all the way back in the book of Genesis and then throughout the Bible, where Jesus finally dies and rises again in 3 days. All sin is gone, and all glory and honor is his. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, may you guide and direct us, every single person in here. Work on all of our hearts and our minds. And Lord, more than anything, would you work on our sight? Would you help us to just be able to see who you really are? Help us to see that as we dig into your word, as we help others, whatever it is, wherever you want us to go, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes that we can see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stay with us.
Remember, you are faithful, God.